Welcome to the deep dive. You know, it's funny how we always seem to look around us, right, for clues about the weather. To the sky, maybe animals. Sometimes you just kind of feel it in the air. It's this old, old fascination, this traditional wisdom.
Absolutely. And it's given us this, well, this huge collection of weather proverbs passed down through generations. Some useful, some maybe
Yeah,
less so.
exactly. And today, that's what we're diving into. Okay, let's unpack this. Think about that really common one, red sky at night, sailor's delight.
Red sky in morning. Sailor, take warning. Yeah, everyone knows that one.
Right. It sounds so definite. It feels like it must be true, doesn't it? Like gospel.
And it's a great place to start this deep dive because, well, while it sounds lovely, it's not always reliable. A lot of things we look at point this out, that red sky can be, pretty deceiving. Is it really red because of dry, dusty air signaling good weather moving in? Or is it just pollution? Or maybe the angle of the sun? And where you see it, east or west, really matters too. So, yeah, it's not quite the universal rule people think. But what's fascinating, and this is the cool part, is that while a lot of these proverbs are, charming myths, quite a few actually do have solid science behind them. They really show how observant people were. Our ancestors, they were definitely onto something.
Absolutely. So that's our mission today for you listening in. We're gonna sift through the folklore, look at six weather proverbs you shared with us that are surprisingly true. And we won't just list them. We're gonna get into the science, the why behind them. Maybe you'll end up trusting your observations more than that app on your phone. All right, first up. This one might make you look up the next time you hear that familiar sound overhead. If the goose honks high, fair weather. If the goose honks low, foul weather. And just be clear, this isn't about like the pitch of the honk, right? It's about how high they're actually flying.
Exactly right. Geese are amazing long-distance flyers, just incredible. And a huge part of that is finding the sweet spot, the best air density to fly in. So when you have a high-pressure system settling in that's basically dense, sinking air, usually meaning clear skies, good weather, the air higher up offers more lift. It's easier for them to fly, so they go higher, conserve energy, makes sense. But when a low-pressure system moves in that's lighter, rising air more unstable, the kind that builds clouds and storms flying high becomes tough work. It's turbulent.
Right, so they fly lower.
Yeah, they fly lower, just high enough to clear obstacles, basically. The air is a bit more stable, less draining down there. It's safer and easier when bad weather's brewing.
Wow, that's amazing, like built-in weather sensors. But is it a conscious choice? Like, oh, pressure's dropping, better descend, or instinct?
It's mostly instinctual, yeah. A physiological thing honed over, well, millions of years. Their bodies are just incredibly sensitive to those air density and pressure changes. They're not reading a gauge, they're feeling it, feeling where the flying is easiest and safest. It's how animals are just so tuned in to their environment. It's pretty remarkable.
So next time you spot a flock, check their altitude. Could be your own personal feathered weather forecast. Okay, from geese way up high, let's bring it down to earth, right into your house, maybe. Our second proverb is about smells. When the pipe smells stronger, it's going to rain. And sources say this isn't just about like old plumbing or tobacco pipes. I've noticed it too, like you mentioned, maybe the garden compost suddenly seems more pungent before a downpour.
That's a perfect observation, and it leads us straight to the science of smell, olfaction, and how humidity plays a big role. It's actually quite neat. See, for us to smell something, our nose has to grab onto odor particles, molecules floating in the air. In dry air, these particles are kind of floating solo. They're harder for our noses to collect efficiently. But when the air gets humid, full of water vapor, those water molecules basically glom onto the odor particles, like little burrs sticking to your trousers, as one source put it.
Yeah. Okay, I can picture that.
So these odor packages become heavier, more concentrated, and the moisture helps them stick inside our already moist nasal passages. Much easier to detect. And since human air is, often what you get right before rain or a thunderstorm, you need that moisture to make clouds that stronger smell is basically an early warning, an olfactory heads up.
That makes total sense. So if you ever step outside and just feel like you can smell the flowers or the damp earth or even the trash bin way more intensely, you weren't imagining it, your nose was picking up on the increased humidity. A little pre-rain alert system. Does it work better for some smells than others, though?
Generally, yeah. Organic smells, think plants, soil, decomposition, that sort of thing. Their molecules seem to get picked up and carried by water vapor more easily, so they become more noticeable. Maybe less so for some, like synthetic chemical smells, but it's still a great example of how our senses are constantly reading the environment even when we don't consciously realize it.
Okay, our third proverb. This one involves nature's little architects. If the spiders are many and spinning their webs, the spell will soon be very dry.
You know, spider silk is famously strong, like incredibly strong for its weight. You'd kind of think a bit of dew or rain wouldn't faze it.
You're right about the strength. It is amazing stuff. But it has an Achilles heel, water. Those super thin silk strands, they actually absorb moisture from the air. And if it gets wet enough, like with dew or rain, the weight of that absorbed water can make the web sag or even break.
Oh, right. Didn't think about the weight. Yeah, and for a spider, a broken web is bad news. It's lost hunting time, lost energy rebuilding. So they've become, well, excellent judges of humidity. That's the key. They can sense when the air is damp and rain is likely. And when they sense that, they tend to hunker down, stay hidden. Why build if it's just going to get wrecked?
Makes sense.
But when they sense dry air, and maybe sense it's going to stay dry for a few days, prime hunting time, that's when you see them get busy, spinning those webs, getting ready.
So seeing lots of spiders out building webs is actually a pretty good indicator of dry weather ahead. These tiny creatures are like miniature meteorologists.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. They're betting on good conditions based on what their senses tell them about the humidity. It's a survival strategy, finely tuned. Do they get caught out sometimes by a sudden shower?
I guess they must do.
Oh, sure. Nature's unpredictable. But overall, building mainly during dry spells works for them. It's fascinating how these little behaviors tell a bigger story about the upcoming weather.
Okay, proverb number 4. This one sounds a bit like that red sky saying, but apparently it's got much more scientific weight behind it. Rainbow in morning, sailor take warning. Rainbow at night, sailor's delight.
Yes, this one is much more reliable. And the reason is pretty elegant, actually. It combines basic optics with typical weather movement. First, the optics bit. A rainbow always forms in the part of the sky opposite the sun from where you're standing. Always.
Okay, opposite the sun. Got it.
So in the morning, the sun's rising in the east. Where's the rainbow going to be?
Uh-huh. In the west.
Yeah, exactly. And in the evening, sun's setting in the west, so the rainbow appears in the east. Now, add the weather part. In many parts of the world, especially the mid-latitudes where many of these proverbs originated, weather systems generally track from west to east.
Right. Weather moves west to east, mostly.
So put it together. Morning rainbow in the west. That means the sun is behind you in the east, shining on rain clouds in the west. Since weather moves west to east, that rain is likely heading towards you. Hence, sailor take warning.
Ah, okay. I see it now. The rain is still coming.
Precisely. Now flip it. Evening rainbow in the east. Sun setting behind you in the west, shining on rain clouds to the east. Those showers have already passed you and are moving away to the east. What usually follows a rain shower, often clearing skies, fair weather. So for a sailor, that suggests a calm night ahead. Sailor's delight.
That's brilliant. Simple physics and observation combined. Does it work just as well if you're, you know, not a sailor, just standing in your backyard?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, hills or buildings might block your view of the whole arc, but the principle is the same. Morning rainbow west, rain likely approaching. Evening rainbow east, rain likely departing. It's a solid piece of folk meteorology.
Okay, this next one, our fifth, describes something that looks, well, frankly, a bit weird. If the clouds move against the wind, rain will follow. You know that thing. You feel the breeze blowing one way down at ground level, maybe rustling the leaves, but you look up and the clouds are sailing off in a totally different direction. Sometimes even the opposite way. How does that work?
It does look odd, doesn't it? But what you're seeing is a really important sign. It means you've got very different wind conditions at different altitudes. The wind near the ground is doing one thing, and the wind higher up where the clouds are is doing something else entirely. This difference is called wind shear, specifically vertical wind shear, and it's a classic indicator of an unstable atmosphere.
Unstable. Yeah, and unstable means?
It means the air isn't settled and calm. Different layers of air are moving differently, maybe different temperatures or moisture levels colliding or sliding over each other. The atmosphere is basically churning, and that churning, that instability, is exactly what you need to build storms. It helps air rise, condense, form big clouds, and potentially lead to rain, thunderstorms. In fact, when you get really strong wind shear under the right conditions with lots of moisture and instability through a deep layer of the atmosphere, that's how you can get severe thunderstorms, even the rotation needed for things like hurricanes to form.
Whoa. Okay, so just noticing the clouds going the wrong way isn't just a curiosity, it's a signal of potential atmospheric fireworks brewing upstairs.
Exactly. That tells you there's significant dynamic activity happening layers upon layers. It's a great reminder that the atmosphere is this deep, complex, three-dimensional thing, and sometimes you get these visual clues to the turmoil within.
Fascinating stuff. Right, on to our last proverb, number six. We're back to animals. When the ass begins to bray, surely rain will follow that day. This feels connected to that general feeling people sometimes get, doesn't it? That storm's coming feeling, especially maybe before a big summer thunderstorm. I mentioned my old dog, Buster. He definitely knew.
You probably did. That feeling isn't just imagination. And yes, our animal friends often seem much more tuned into the subtle precursors of storms. One of the big ones is air pressure. Big rain systems, especially thunderstorms, are often associated with a drop in barometric pressure. The weight of the air pressing down literally decreases. Humans, well, some people are sensitive to it. Headaches, achy joints, that sort of thing. But animals, particularly ones that evolved outdoors, seem to feel that pressure drop much more acutely. It can be physically uncomfortable for them. Maybe their ears feel funny, maybe just create the general sense of unease or irritation. We don't know exactly what they feel, but they react.
So the donkey isn't predicting rain, it's just feeling uncomfortable because the pressure's changing.
Pretty much. That braying is likely a sign of agitation or stress caused by the changing atmosphere conditions that often precede rain. It's a reaction, not a forecast. But because the trigger often comes before the rain, it works as a signal. Like your dog pacing, he wasn't predicting, he was reacting to something he could sense that you couldn't, or not as strongly.
That makes sense. Are there other animal behaviors linked to pressure changes or incoming storms?
Oh, lots. We already talked about geese flying lower. You might see birds feeding more actively right before a storm or seeking shelter earlier than usual. Sometimes cattle bunch together. Fish might change their feeding depth. It's all about sensing those environmental shifts.
So keep an eye on the local donkeys and dogs and birds. Their behavior can be a real clue. Okay, so there we have it. Six pieces of weather wisdom that aren't just old tales. From geese flying high to spiders spinning webs, smelly pipes to rainbows, odd clouds and braying donkeys. It really shows that these sayings, far from superstition, pack some real observational power and often solid science. Our ancestors were paying close attention.
They really were. And connecting to the bigger picture, this kind of folk wisdom was, in a way, an early form of environmental science, wasn't it? Based purely on observation and pattern recognition over generations. It's a good reminder that knowledge isn't just about data points. It's about understanding the connections, seeing the patterns, and applying that understanding.
Absolutely. So maybe the next time you step outside, you'll look around a little differently, notice the height of the birds, maybe take a sniff of the air, check the clouds. What common sayings might you start to test out now with this in mind?
And maybe think about this beyond just weather. How many other subtle clues is nature giving us all the time? Clues about the health of our environment, about shifts and changes. What might we understand about our world if we just slowed down, paid a bit closer attention, and asked why more often? There's probably a lot we're missing.